This morning's gospel reading is from Luke 5, it's a story of Jesus calling his disciples, and particularly Simon, or Simon Peter, or Peter, he gets called by all three names, from his fishing boat. So I was thinking about this story. I saw a report from a basketball game which just seemed familiar to this story. And so it's a story about Steph Curry, who's the greatest shooter in basketball history, but who was in a little bit of a slump recently. In the first half of a game against Houston recently, he'd only made 10 points and only one three-pointer, quite uncharacteristic. It was then that the player guarding him, named Kevin Porter, took credit for what was happening to Curry, stared him down, and started talking to him. Trash talk. Curry didn't say a word. The trash talk got louder. And then Steph went Steph. In the fourth quarter, he went 7 for 10, including 4 for 7 from three-pointers. It's the second most he's ever scored in a fourth quarter and led his team to an easy victory over the Rockets. The other player, the trash talker, Kevin Porter, do you know what he did after the game, after all the trash talk? Not even after the game was over, still with 30 seconds left on the clock, he went to Curry on the court, and he said, "I went up to him, and I asked him for some pointers." According to the Houston Chronicle, Porter said, "Being MVP, first unanimous, that's something I can learn from. He's been doing this for so long. People get comfortable with what he's capable of doing. It's not really a surprise. But seeing him play like this is definitely something to learn from." So on the court during the game, instead of talking trash, he says, "Hey, can you help me out with my game? This is remarkable." I think it's the basketball version of, "Forgive me, I didn't know what I was doing." Or, "Oh, great one, I'm a sinful man." And that's, in a way, what today's gospel story is all about, or at least it's part of what today's gospel story is about, finding yourself in the presence of greatness, someone who changes the way you see the world and can lead you to a new way of life. Jesus was standing by the water. A crowd was pressing in on him to hear him teach and preach the word of God. They wanted to hear everything he had to say. They were pressing in closer and closer. This wasn't an unusual experience for him. Crowds were gathering to hear him and see him and touch him and be touched by him. They hung on his words, saying to each other, "Who is this? He teaches with authority." Not like the scribes and the Pharisees. There was something about him, not just the words he said, but the way he said them, the way he moved in the world, something magnetic, something cosmic, something divine. Long before people understood who he was, they felt something instinctively about him, something awakening in themselves just being in his presence. Wisdom, holiness, love. And this seems to be true for Simon as well, a fisherman on a nearby boat hearing everything Jesus was saying there by the lakeshore. And not just the way he spoke, but his words too, what he taught. We're not told here in Luke 5 what he was teaching on the seashore. All Luke says is the crowd was pressing in to hear the word of God. Nearby, Simon and some fishermen were still in their boats, cleaning up after a long night. Pressed in by the crowds, Jesus got into one of the boats and asked its owner, Simon, to just push a little way offshore, where Jesus sat, really paying attention to what Jesus was saying before now. He was now. What else could he do in the boat with Jesus? He is Simon, also called Peter. Washer of nets and rower of boats. Not much of a swimmer. a man of kindness to a preacher, and now a captive audience. He can't get away. What's he going to do? Walk away on water? We don't know exactly what Jesus was saying here in this exact moment, but we know what he taught about God and about God's kingdom, about rich and poor, about right and wrong, about despair and hope, and about God. Jesus taught about God like he knew God intimately, personally. God is like a father, he says, who gives you everything and then waits for you to come back. God is like a king who gives the kingdom to those who are not afraid to let go and trust. He said things like, "Blessed are the poor. Blessed are you who are hungry now. Blessed are you who weep now. God sees your suffering and is with you. But woe to the rich. Woe to you who are full. Woe to you who cackle with glee at your good fortune. God sees how you treat others and your selfishness and greed and is not with you." If Simon wasn't paying any attention before, he would be now. He is Simon Peter, coming home empty-netted and empty-hearted again. There have been too many nights like this since the Romans started dumping slag from their villa construction projects right into the lake water. It didn't take a scientist to see the damage to the lake ecosystem. It didn't used to be this way. He is Simon Peter, son and grandson of proud fishermen, but a failure in his darkest moments and in his mother-in-law's eyes. He's another worn-out, worn-down, no-good, uneducated Jew in a world of Romans. He's a nothing man in a world of Pharisees. He is Simon Peter, slumped over, washing nets, a net man, which is all a fisherman is with no fish, besides hungry. There had been no catch that night. Simon and his partners dragged themselves to shore with empty nets and empty bellies and the shame of those who cannot provide for their families. So if Jesus is saying, "Blessed are the poor, the hungry, those who weep," Simon was paying a little bit of attention. He was poor. He was hungry too many nights. He wept over his station in life and the state of the world when he had the energy to look beyond himself. Most preachers didn't talk like this. Simon thinks there's something different about this teacher. He teaches as one with authority. He teaches as one with compassion. He teaches like he sees the world in a whole new way, or is making the world whole in a new way. I'd follow this man. I'd follow this man, or someone like me in that crowd should follow this man. I'd do it if I had enough fish or enough time or if I was more educated or if I was a religious person. By God, I'd follow him. But then Simon also thinks, look at those crowds right by the docks. I wish I had a boat full of fish to sell them today. I'd make a fortune. Simon startles back to attention when Jesus then says, like he knew his thoughts, "Hey, Simon, let's go fish. Put into the deep water and let down your nets. Let's go have a catch." With a renewed energy or willing submission or bored optimism, Simon agrees, saying, "We did that all night and caught nothing, but if you say so, we'll do it." I've never met a fisherman who wasn't convinced on the next cast he'd catch a big fish. There's always time for just one more. Optimism or desperation drives us past the point of reason. We keep trying even past the point we should probably just give up. We try one more time. How did Fitzgerald describe it? Beating our boats against the current, borne ceaselessly back into the past. But this wasn't a journey into a dark past. Oh no. This was about to open up a whole new future. Simon seems more resigned than determined, but he does as Jesus instructs. They row out to deep water, lower the nets, and bam, they fill. They fill like never before. Strong arms tense, strong calloused hands grip as fish full nets pull down like an anchor dropping into the deep. Another boat of fishermen row up to help. Both boats together can hardly stay above the waterline at the unseen weight that strains the nets and the backs. The nets are breaking. The boats are taking on water. It was as if every fish in the whole lake was in those nets. They may have been. Whooping, grunting, water lapping, rope snapping, Simon snapping off instructions like one born to be a leader. He is Simon Peter, the greatest fisher person that ever was, born to ride the waves, made to conquer the deep. He is master and commander of the seas, and he's going to get this haul to shore if it's the last thing he does. He is Simon Peter, already cashing in this haul, already doing the math. He's finally hit the big one, the catch of a lifetime. He can already see the register spin. He can hear the coins hitting the pile. He can already feel the back slaps and songs in his honor at the pub from the other fishermen. He is Simon Peter, who definitely doesn't want to hear a sermon about blessed are the poor now. Are you kidding? Blessed is Poseidon. Blessed are the rich. Blessed will I be if I can just get this ship to shore without it sinking. But the preacher's still standing there, which is awkward. Not helping at all. Just standing over there watching all this. Watching them all work and strain and watching them begin to worry if these boats are going to make it after all. He's just watching. Oh, now you got nothing to say, Jesus? All that preaching and now you're quiet? Simon groans, leveraging his oak-like thigh against the sidewall of the boat. I suppose you think this is funny, huh? He sneers, sweat beginning to drop from his head and down his beard to the hem of his robes. I don't know how you got lucky with this go fish one more time, but I could use a little help again if you've got it in you. I suppose you think this is a non-profit operation, give to the poor, give all this away. Is that your game? I heard your sermon. I heard your bleeding heart, liberal socialist agenda. Jesus laughs at that because it's a funny line. And that's all it is a funny line. I heard everything you've got to say, and you know, groan. It's nice, groan. But listen, I got mine now. I'm a made man now. Simon's foot begins to slip on the deck wet with sloshing water, but his hands still hold the ropes. One foot slips, the other slips, and then he lands on his knees, right near Jesus. He looks up at him. I've got mine now as soon as I can get this boat to shore. Go away from me. I am a sinful man. And he laughs at his own joke. Calling himself a sinful man had been kind of a running gag to him, a post-ironic appropriation of religious cultural language. I'm a sinful man, a way to deflect the judgments and pass by the offering plates of the stone-eyed, cold-hearted Pharisees, always looking down on men who work with their hands and lead with their hearts, but always asking them for another coin. But this is not a Pharisee. This is not an idea of the divine. This is not a Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus in the flesh. go away from me. Jesus doesn't flinch. Go away from me. Jesus doesn't move. I mean, he's on a boat. Where's he going to go? Walk on water? The boat he's on is sinking. And on his knees, looking into the eyes of Jesus, suddenly Simon realizes something. It washes over him. He's in a net too. He's caught like a big fish in a small net. These fish in the water aren't coming up from the deep today. This boat's not going to make it to shore. The greatest catch of his life has become the greatest choice in his life. Hold on and go down with them, or let go and live. And looking up at Jesus, Simon realizes what Jesus already knows, that Jesus has put his own life in Simon Peter's strong hands and uncertain decision. With Simon too, he will either die or he will live. Simon looks back at Jesus now with no irony, no smirk, no defenses. There's mystery afoot here. This is life-changing, but not in the way he thought it would be. Simon Peter's forearms slightly, just slightly, loosened their tautness. He knows on any other day, maybe every other day, he might just choose to go down fighting with the nets and the boats just on stubbornness alone. I am a sinful man. I'm actually, truly, a sinful person. Now I'm caught in my own net. None of this made total sense to him yet, but somehow he knew it would. Simon was a working man, not a religious Bible scholar, so he probably didn't realize how he had already just now followed in the footsteps of great men and women who'd come before him in the presence of God who comes and calls, like prophet Isaiah, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips." Patriarch and matriarch Abraham and Sarah's laugh when told they'd be grandparents of a great nation. Moses stammering a protest when God calls on him to go back to Egypt to liberate captives. Mother Mary's, "How can this be?" And on and on. In a way metaphorical of all who know, with Jesus, they face the choice of a lifetime. At the moment of surrender, they were on a sinking boat over deep water. Deep water is Bible talk for the abyss of chaos, fear, and death. And Jesus is there too, even there, just there, in the deep waters of all our lives, in the moment when we only have the choice, grip tightly to our own identity, or let go and trust. "Do not be afraid," he says to Peter. He says to all, "You're going to be okay. Let it go. Let go of what you're clinging to. Person you've made yourself to be, the life you're still trying to forge from your own strength. Let it loose. Let it drop. Let it be. I have great plans for you." They rowed their boats to shore, but not with the fish who swam free from loose nets. Liberated fish swam free in the water. Strangely liberated men stepped lightly onto the shore. They brought their boats to shore and left them there. They left them there, Simon and the others. They left everything that day. Everything but everything that mattered. Maybe one last look over the shoulder at the life that could have been if it hadn't killed them. One last look, and then they left everything and followed him, Jesus, into whose hands they now trust their lives as he trusted his life in theirs. It was their first lesson. The one who saves his life will lose it. The one who loses his life for his sake will save it. He is Peter, a fisher for Jesus of people, lowering nets of God's grace into depths of human darkness, lifting people from darkness to life, from death, from darkness to light, from death to life. He is Peter, disciple, apostle, miracle worker, martyr, born to lead, learn to serve, not a master and commander of the seas, but a servant and follower of the Lord. He is Saint Peter, the symbol of the whole church being called to follow and to serve and to trust God in all the deep waters. They left everything to follow Jesus. And that's the story of a man who let loose his grip of everything he held on to and became a saint. And that's the story of all who can hear Jesus' words. Let go. Do not be afraid. Follow me. Thanks be to God.